there we go, is I want us just to think a little bit about the early church, okay? Because the early church, well, we're in church today, aren't we? Yeah, we're in church, but have you ever thought, like, how did it start? Because we're in a building called a church, but when the church first started, they weren't in a church. In fact, the early church began life in the temple in Jerusalem. That's where they started meeting together. After Jesus had died and resurrected and gone to heaven, he'd said to the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come. And then when it came, they would know what to do. And they would be witnesses and they would share the message with others. And that's exactly what happened. And so they would spend time in a part of the temple called Solomon's Colonnade. Okay? Now, the temple was a large area, a large place. And so this part was kind of covered over. And so what happened was the people would meet there. And in fact, it was known as a place of debating and chatting and speaking. And what a great place to start the church. What a great place and a great way to begin spreading the message, to begin passing on this message of Jesus to the people around. Okay, and that's why we did the activity, because the early church had to pass on the message of Jesus to everybody. Okay, and that's what they did. Okay, and now there's a few things in the early part of Acts that I want us to think about. Okay, because the first thing that they did, it says, is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer and fellowship and the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, that's what they did. They were focused on wanting to learn all about God. Now, when I was a kid, right, my mum and dad used to read Bible stories to me before I went to bed. Did that ever happen to you? A few. Yeah, I loved it because when I was little and I was hearing these amazing stories of David and Goliath, I loved that story. And when I was hearing stories about Daniel in the lion's den, it was an amazing story. And when I was hearing stories about Moses and going through the Red Sea, it was amazing. And I was like, wow, these stories excited me. Hearing the stories in the Bible and about Jesus and the miracles that he did and all of this stuff, I was excited. Kids, when you had to go to Sunday school before the days of COVID, did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy learning the Bible stories? Because I know that I did. I loved hearing the message of God, and it was there that I learned it. It was there that I learned about God. And the people in the early church wanted to listen to the disciples. They wanted to listen and to hear all about Jesus and about what he said. And they wanted to learn from him. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That was the early church. They were excited about learning about God. So my question is, are you excited when you come to church? Are you excited when you read your Bible? Are you excited at the thought of learning more things about God? Are you excited about that? Because I know sometimes I'm not always as excited as I should be. Sometimes I'm not always as dedicated to wanting to learn more about Jesus than I should be. Sometimes I think I'd just rather watch telly than read my Bible. Or go in the garden than read my Bible and learn more about God. But you know what? These early Christians, right? They were dedicated to learning more about Jesus. And kids, as you get older, will you seek to learn and want to find out more about Jesus and want to listen to what he has to say? Will you spend time reading the Bible and learning from it? parents, grandparents, will you give time to your kids and grandkids teaching them the message of Jesus? Or if you haven't got those, or if they're a bit older now, did you do that? Is that something that's important? And in fact, older people in this church, is it really important to pass on the message of Jesus to the younger ones? You bet it is. You see, the early church were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to being together, sharing together, hanging out together. That's what they wanted to do. And you know, we've been through some times, haven't we, with COVID, where we've not been able to be together. We've had to stare at a screen. And it's got a bit tough, hasn't it, really? It's got difficult. And there's a danger, isn't there, that we think, do you know what? I can't be bothered to come back to church now. I can't be bothered to do this. I've got out of the habit of doing it. I found something more interesting to do. But you know what? That early church were on fire for Jesus. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to wanting to learn more about Jesus. And do you know what? In this book, in the Old Testament part of the Bible, it points towards Jesus. And then in the New Testament part, it's all about Jesus. And then the early church stuff is then pointing back to Jesus. It all revolves around Jesus and who he is, what he did, and what he said. So are we dedicated to learning more about Jesus and learning more from God's word? Do you know what? Something else that they were really focused on was this. Okay, I'm going to read something to you. My Bible's got a little bit battered, okay, but here we go. If we just find this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Wow. Do you know what? Not only did they learn about Jesus and were they devoted to finding out more, they were devoted to one another too. They were totally 100% sold out, committed to one another. To such a degree that they were willing to sell stuff that they had to make sure that somebody else didn't go without. That's dedication to Jesus and to the church family, the community. And do you know what? I'm sure that would have made a massive difference to the people around. You know, Jesus actually said these words, that if you love one another, people will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. You know, not only were they devoted to the apostles' teaching, but they were devoted enough to one another, and that made an impact on the life of others and drew them into the church, drew them towards Jesus. And I want you to think, right, for those of you who didn't grow up in church, what brought you into church in the first place? Or what kept you in church in the first place? I would hazard a guess is that it was the way that people spoke to you, the way that people loved one another, the way that people treated one another was the difference. You know, because people notice something different. They notice the Holy Spirit in you and in me and the love within you and in me. And the fact that material possessions aren't important anymore. Jesus is important. God's people are important. And we're committed to each other. So my question this morning is this. Are you committed to God's people this morning? Are you committed to God's family this morning, whether you're at home or whether you're here? Are you being community? Are you finding ways to maintain community and family with one another this morning? I know it's been tough and it's been difficult and it's been hard. But you know what? That's where we need it even more, isn't it? That's where we need it even more in those hard times. And so the church, the early church, shared everything that they had in order to bless and to encourage and to support and help one another. And you know, there's one last thing in this first part that I want us to think about. They were devoted to prayer and the breaking of bread. Now, what's the breaking of bread? It's communion, isn't it? Yeah? Now, that began when Jesus told his disciples to take bread and to drink wine. That's right. You've got it there, haven't you? Fantastic. See, you know what's going on, don't you? Brilliant. Yeah? So he took bread and he said, "This is my body. It's going to be dying on the cross for you. And the wine represents my blood. And it's for you." But he actually said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Okay. How good are your memories? Who's got a really bad memory? Yeah. When I ask my wife and I say, "Do you want a coffee?" Right? I go into the kitchen and I've forgotten whether she said yes or no. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, completely. So then I have to go back out of the kitchen, say, "Did you want a coffee?" And she said yes. I go back to the kitchen and I've forgotten again, so I go back again. I need a little notepad or something. And I'm only 51. But there you go. See, our memories, sometimes we forget, don't we? Boys and girls, do you forget when your parents ask you to do something? Do you forget, kids? Yeah. You get focused on something else, don't you? Yeah, I know. That thing in your hand. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Do you know what I mean? We get so focused, don't we, that we forget. And do you know what? Jesus gave us bread and wine because he knew we'd forget about him. He knew that we'd forget about what he'd done. We knew that we'd get so carried away with all kinds of other things that we would forget to remember. So he gave us bread and he gave us wine to remind us. So that every time we'd have a little bit of bread and wine, we'd remember, Jesus, he died for me. And it's important. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to have an opportunity to remember right now. That's what we're going to do. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us. Because it cost him everything. It cost him his very life. He was spat at. He was laughed at. He was hit. He was punched. He had nails through his hands and through his feet. He'd been accused of things he'd never done. And he hung there on a cross because of his love for you and for me. Because it was the only way that we could know forgiveness. It's the only way that we could know God's peace in our lives. And it was the only way we could be saved from God's judgment. It's the only way. And so Jesus did that for us. All he wants for us is to remember and to be thankful. So what we're going to do now, as we go into a time of communion. I've left my thing over there. What I want us to do, just for a minute, okay, before we take the bread and before we take the wine, there's going to be some music playing that Emma's going to play for us. And what I just want us to do, I want you just to shut your eyes for a minute. And I want you just to remember, whether you want to remember an aspect of the crucifixion, Jesus dying, whether it's the thief on the cross, or whether it's Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Whether it's the way that people were being awful and nasty to him. Whatever part it is, just focus on that, if you like, and be thankful for Jesus and for what he went through. so that you could go free, so that you could know forgiveness, so that you could know salvation. Okay, so let's just spend that time right now in just reflecting and thinking, just for a few minutes, while Emma just plays some music, and then I'm going to pray, okay, and then we're going to take bread and we're going to take the wine together, okay? That'll be lovely, thank you. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you that he was willing to die on that cross. He was willing to go through that pain and that suffering and the separation from God the Father for us because of his love for us, because it was the only way. And this morning we just want to come thankfully for what you've done. And we want to praise you and we want to reflect and just be grateful to you. Father God, help us to live a life that pleases you. Help us to live a life in the light of what you've done for us. Help us always to remember and to never forget. To not just know about it in our heads, but to know it in our hearts. How much you love us and what you've done to sort that out. Father, thank you for your body and for your blood that was shed for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take the moment then to eat the bread and to drink the wine and to be thankful. Amen. Just for the final part of the service, I think it was really apt actually that Sue shared that, because what I was going to share next about the church was actually about God's power to change and to change people's circumstances. And one of the things within the early church was miracles, signs, wonders. And I was always amazed when I heard these stories. And in the book of Acts, there was a story of Peter and John healing a man who'd been born not able to walk. And he'd not been able to walk for 40 years. And every day he'd been carried to the place near the temple gates, every day to beg. And this one day, Peter and John go past and he's begging. And do you know what Peter and John said? Silver and gold we don't have, but one thing we do have, and that's Jesus. So he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up, walk. And the man walks. How amazing and incredible. And in fact, many miracles took place in that early church. In fact, it got so crazy that so many people were bringing people to the disciples for healing that it was like word was spreading all over. And in fact, it got so crazy that they were laying them out in the street, hoping that Peter would walk past and that as his shadow walks past, they'd be healed. I mean, that's crazy stuff, right? That's like crazy power going on. And the thing about the early church was this. The power of God was at work. The power of God was at work to show people who he really was, who he really is, and what he could do, and that nothing was impossible for God. You know, the disciples, right, got in trouble for preaching Jesus. They got in trouble for healing. They got in trouble for pointing people to Jesus, and they were put in prison for it. They were beaten up for it. They were told, you cannot talk about him. Did it stop them? Did it, heck? They carried on and they spoke about Jesus. And do you know what the Bible says? The disciples said, we can't help but speak about what we have seen and what we have heard. We can't help it because it's so incredible. Do you know what, guys? If you saw a miracle happen right in front of your eyes, would you be talking about it? Yeah, you bet you would. Right? Do you know what? My mum, she's 81 and I ring her every other day down in London because she's by herself. And she told me about this story. There was her friend, her nephew's, yeah, so her friend's nephew was taken really ill. And they discovered that he would need a heart transplant. Now, it was that serious, that quick, that they were saying that within 2 weeks, he'd be dead. Well, guess what? My mum had been asked to pray. And then the very next day, after she'd been praying and other people had been praying, he was given or found a match for a transplant. And he had the transplant, and he's, well, as far as I'm aware, he's doing okay. But my mum was like, wow, how good is that? You know? And do you know the thing is, I sometimes feel like, why don't I see as many miracles and things like that? The thing is, we don't always seem to hear them, so we think that they don't happen. But they do. Because God is alive and nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Whatever we give to him, he can deal with. His power is incredible. Nothing is impossible for Jesus. You know, and I just want to encourage you within that. We might not see these things happening, but do you know what? The power of God is at work in you and in me. And we have a story to tell. We have a story to tell. We have our testimony of what God has done in our lives, of the answered prayers in our lives. And we need to share that. We need to share that so that other people see the power of God, the reality of God in our lives. That's what we need to do. The disciples weren't scared. They shared. And they said, we would rather please God than people. We'd rather get put in prison, beat up, smacked about. We'd rather that than not speak about Jesus. My question to you is this. Are you so passionate about Jesus that you don't care what might happen because you just want to share the message of Jesus? Has Jesus impacted your life so much that you just want to speak it out? Is that where it's at? This morning for you. You know, as a church, we need to be devoted to prayer, to God's teaching, to the breaking of bread, to meeting together. We need to be loving one another and showing that towards people. And we need to be sharing this amazing message of Jesus' power and our testimony and what he's done for us so that others may see, so that the church of Jesus Christ grows. And do you know what? Jesus actually said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So whatever happens, God's church is growing. Whatever happens. We might think, oh no, there's empty seats in the church. God's church is still growing. We have a story to tell people. Let's tell it. Let's share it. Let's love others. Let's devote ourselves to learning more so that we can pass that message on. Because he is the Lord Almighty, the creator of the universe. And he has the power to change and the power to uphold and the power to uplift and the power to keep. And he will. And he will. God bless you this morning.